What do the pyramids in Egypt, Leonardo da Vinci's portrait of the Mona Lisa, sunflowers, the snail, the pine cone, and your fingers all have in common? The answer to this question lies hidden in a series of numbers discovered by the Italian mathematician Leonardo Fibonacci. The characteristic of these numbers, known as the Fibonacci numbers, is that each one is the sum of the preceding two numbers. Fibonacci numbers have an interesting feature. When you divide one number in the series by the number before it, you obtain numbers very close to one another. In fact, this number is fixed after the 13th in the series and is known as the golden ratio. The examples of the golden ratio that you will be seeing in this film, and that exist in our own bodies and in all living things in nature, are just a few of the proofs that God has created all things with a measure. In one verse, He reveals that. God has appointed a measure for all things. When conducting their research or setting out their products, artists, scientists, and designers take the human body, the proportions of which are set out according to the golden ratio, as their measure. Leonardo da Vinci and Le Corbusier used this ratio in their designs. The human body, proportioned according to the golden ratio, is also taken as the basis in the Neufert, one of the most important reference books of modern-day architects. The ideal proportional relations that are suggested as existing among various parts of the average human body, and that approximately meet the golden ratio values, can be set out in a general plan. The TS ratio in the table below is always equivalent to the golden ratio. T divided by S equals 1.618. However, it may not always be possible to use a ruler and find this ratio all over people's faces, because it applies to the idealized human form, on which scientists and artists agree. The first example of the golden ratio in the average human body is that when the distance between the navel and the foot is taken as one unit, the height of a human being is equivalent to 1.618. Some other golden proportions in the average human body are the distance between the fingertip and the elbow, the distance between the wrist and the elbow, the distance between the shoulder line and the top of the head, the distance between the navel and the top of the head, the distance between the shoulder line and the top of the head. The distance between the navel and knee. The distance between the knee and the end of the foot. Just turn your hand and look at your index finger. You will, in all likelihood, witness a golden proportion there. Our fingers have three sections. The proportion of the first two sections to the full length of the finger gives the golden ratio. This does not, of course, apply to the thumb with its two joints. You can also see that the proportion of the middle finger to the little finger is also a golden ratio. You have two hands, and the fingers on them consist of three sections. There are five fingers on each hand, and only eight of these are articulated according to the golden number. 2, 3, 5, and 8 fit the Fibonacci numbers. There are several golden ratios in the human face. For example, the total width of the two front teeth in the upper jaw over their height gives a golden ratio. The width of the first tooth from the center to the second tooth also yields a golden ratio. These are the ideal proportions that a dentist may consider. Some other golden ratios in the human face are: the length of face over the width of face. The distance between the lips and where the eyebrows meet over the length of nose. The length of face over the distance between tip of jaw and where the eyebrows meet. The length of mouth over the width of nose. The width of nose over the distance between nostrils. The distance between pupils over the distance between eyebrows. In a study carried out between 1985 and 1987, the American physicist Bruce West and professor of medicine Ari Goldberger revealed the existence of the golden ratio in the structure of the lung. One feature of the network of the bronchi that constitutes the lung is that it is asymmetric. For example, the windpipe divides into two main bronchi, one long on the left and the other short on the right. This asymmetrical division continues into the subsequent subdivisions of the bronchi. It was determined that in all these divisions, the proportion of the short bronchus to the long was always 1 over 1.618. All this information once again shows the superior nature of our Lord's creation. In verses of the Quran, it is revealed that God created man within a proportion. He who created you and formed you and proportioned you and assembled you in whatever way He will. A rectangle, the proportion of whose sides is equal to the golden ratio, is known as a golden rectangle. Let us now examine the features of this golden rectangle together. A rectangle whose sides are 1 and 1.618 units long is a golden rectangle. Let us assume a square drawn along the length of the short side of this rectangle and draw a quarter circle between two corners of the square. Then, let us draw a square and a quarter circle on the remaining side, and do this for all the remaining rectangles in the main rectangle. When you do this, you will end up with a spiral. The British aesthetician William Charlton explains the way that people find the spiral pleasing and have been using it for thousands of years, stating that we find spirals pleasing because we can visually follow them with ease. The The spirals based on the golden ratio contain the most incomparable structures you can find in nature. The first examples we can give of this are the spiral sequences on the sunflower and the pine cone. This is one of the many examples of how Almighty God has created all things flawlessly and with a proportion. When investigating the shells of mollusks, the form and the structure of the internal and external surfaces of the shells attracted the scientists' attention. The internal surface is smooth, the outside one is fluted. The mollusk body is inside shell, and the internal surface of shells should be smooth. The outside edges of the shell augment a rigidity of cells, and thus increase its strength. The shell forms astonish by their perfection and profitability of means spent on its creation. The spiral's idea in shells is expressed in the perfect geometrical form, in surprising, beautiful, sharpened design. The shells of most mollusks grow in a logarithmic spiral manner. There can be no doubt, of course, that these animals are unaware of even the simplest mathematical calculation, let alone logarithmic spirals. So how is it that the creatures in question can know that this is the best way for them to grow? How do these animals that some scientists describe as primitive know that this is the ideal form for them? It is impossible for growth of this kind to take place in the absence of a consciousness or intellect. That consciousness exists neither in mollusks nor, despite what some scientists would claim, in nature itself. It is totally irrational to seek to account for such a thing in terms of chance. This structure can only be the product of a superior intellect and knowledge. Almighty God has created these living things to be flawless. In one verse of the Quran, it is revealed how God reigns over all things with His superior knowledge, and how human beings must reflect on our Lord's matchless creative artistry. My Lord encompasses all things in His knowledge, so will you not pay heed? Growth of this kind was described as gnomic by the biologist Sir Darcy Thompson, an expert on the subject, who stated that it was impossible to imagine a simpler system during the growth of a seashell than which was based on widening and extension in line with identical and unchanging proportions. As he pointed out, the shell constantly grows, but its shape remains the same. One can see one of the best examples of this type of growth in a nautilus, which is just a few centimeters in diameter. Crosby Morrison describes this growth process, which is exceptionally difficult to plan, even with human intelligence, stating that along the nautilus shell, an internal spiral extends, consisting of a number of chambers with mother-of-pearl lined walls. As the animal grows, it builds another chamber at the spiral shell mouth, larger than the one before it, and moves forward into this larger area by closing the door behind it with a layer of mother of pearl. The scientific names of some other marine creatures with logarithmic spirals containing the different growth ratios in their shells are Haliotus parvus, Dolium perdix, Murex, Scalari pretiosa. The cochlea in the human inner ear serves to transmit sound vibrations. This bony structure filled with fluid has a logarithmic spiral shape with a fixed angle of 73 degrees 43 minutes containing the golden ratio. Examples of curves based on the logarithmic spiral can be seen in the tusks of elephants and the now extinct mammoth, lion's claws, and parrot's beaks. The Epeira spider always weaves its webs in a logarithmic spiral. Among the microorganisms known as plankton, the bodies of Globigerinoe, Planorbis, Vortex, Terebra, Turritellae, and Trochida are all constructed on spirals. Ammonites, which are today extinct and found only in fossil form, also have shells that grow logarithmically. Neither is the spiral form in the animal kingdom limited to mollusk shells alone. The horns of such animals as the antelope, the mountain goat, and the ram also grow in spirals based on the golden proportion. The DNA molecule in which all the physical features of living things are stored has also been created in a form based on the golden ratio. DNA consists of two intertwined perpendicular helixes. The length of the curve in each of these helixes is 34 angstroms and the width 21 angstroms. One angstrom is 100 millionth of a centimeter. 21 and 34 are two consecutive Fibonacci numbers. All this information is just some of the important proof that the universe was created by a sublime intelligence. In other words, that God created the universe and all living things in it from nothing. In the Quran, God has called upon believers to reflect on this evidence. Anyone who considers the examples around him in the light of his conscience will see this manifest truth. The perfection of our Lord's creative artistry has been revealed in these terms in the Quran. You will not find any flaw in the creation of the All-Merciful. Look again. Do you see any gaps? Then look again and again. Your sight will return to you dazzled and exhausted. When you look around, you see that many plants and trees are covered in leaves. From a distance, you might imagine that branches and leaves are arranged at random, haphazardly. The fact is, however, that the point where every branch will emerge, the sequences of the leaves on the branch, and even the symmetrical shapes in flowers have all been set out with fixed laws and miraculous measures. Plants have been abiding by these laws to the letter since the moment they were first created. In other words, not a single leaf or flower emerges by chance. How many branches a tree will have, where the branches will spring from, how many leaves a branch is to have, and the arrangement of those leaves have all been determined beforehand. In addition, every plant has its own unique branching and leaf sequence laws. Scientists are able to classify plants on the basis of these sequences alone. The extraordinary thing is the way that two poplars, one in China and one in England, for example, are aware of the same rules and proportions and apply the same ratios. It cannot, of course, be chance that creates all plants with their own unique mathematical calculations. The creator of this beauty and flawless form is omniscient God. As is revealed in the Quran, He, to whom the kingdom of the heavens and the earth belongs. He does not have a son, and he has no partner in the kingdom. He created everything and determined it most exactly. Let's perform a brief count of the leaves of this plant in the pot. Let's continue counting until we encounter another leaf on the same level. At this point, let us also remember the number of turns we made around the stem, the two numbers we obtained, the number of leaves and revolutions. Will be the first two numbers we see in the Fibonacci series. Had we begun counting in the opposite direction, then we would have obtained the same number of leaves, but at a different number of revolutions. The number of turns in each direction and the number of leaves encountered during these reveal three consecutive Fibonacci numbers. These sequential forms may be circular or spiral, depending on the species of plant. One of the most important results of this special sequencing is that leaves are arranged so as not to cast shadows over one another. According to these proportions, known as leaf divergence in botany, the order in the way leaves are arranged around the stem has been determined with particular numbers. This arrangement is based on an exceedingly complex calculation. If n is the number of revolutions we need to make, beginning at one leaf, until we encounter another leaf at the same level, and if P is the number of leaves encountered during this cycle, then P divided by N fraction is the leaf divergence that exists in plants. Leaf divergence equals number of leaves in a leaf cycle divided by the number of revolutions. Fractions peculiar to some plants are as follows. 1 over 2 in meadow plants, grasses. 1 over 3 in marsh plants. 2 over 5 in fruit trees, apple trees for example. 3 over 8 in banana species. 5 over 13 in bulbous plants. The way that every tree from the same species is aware of this ratio and abides by the proportion determined for it is a great miracle. How does a banana tree, for example, know about this fraction? And how, no matter where it may be in the world, is it able to abide by it? According to this calculation, when you begin from any leaf and make 8 revolutions around any banana tree trunk, you will encounter another leaf at the same level and at the same time encounter 3 leaves in this cycle. No matter where you go in the world, from South Africa to Latin America, this fraction never changes. Just the existence of such a leaf sequence ratio is important evidence that living things cannot come into existence by chance, but that they were created with an exceedingly complex structure. It is Almighty and Omniscient God who encodes such a proportion in the genetic structure of living things and creates them with that information. The numerical miracles we encounter in plants go further than these. Although the branches we see on the trees around us may appear to be arranged haphazardly at first glance, they too are actually arranged according to an exceptionally complex plan and mathematical calculation. Botanists have identified the golden ratio numbers inherent in the branching of a growing plant. We may now consider the example of the sneezewort plant. Let us look at the relationship between branching and the golden proportion in this plant. As the plant grows, a new branch emerges from every bud, and a new branch from that one. If the number of branches in a horizontal plane is counted, then Fibonacci numbers can be seen. The Fibonacci series is an important key to understanding the fine calculation and arrangement in plants. This shows the order and aesthetics in leaves and flowers arranged according to the Fibonacci series. The fact that plants are shaped according to specific mathematical formulae is one of the most evident proofs that they have been specially created. The sensitive measures and balance in plant atoms and DNA also exist in the plant's external appearance. Other proofs of creation involving the golden ratio include some flowers, seeds, and fruits. The sunflower is one of the finest examples on this subject. If you pick up and examine a sunflower, you will see that its seeds are arranged in spirals. And if you start to count all the seeds in the spirals turning to right and left, you will find two consecutive numbers from the Fibonacci series. This is certainly not limited to the sunflower alone. The leaves of densely seeded plants, such as the cabbage, also form spirals running to right or left around a central point, as in the sunflower. Daisies and pine cone scales are also set out in right and left spirals. If you count these one by one, you will again obtain numbers based on the Fibonacci series, in other words, on the golden ratio. These numbers in the spirals in plants will be 5 over 8 and 8 over 13 in pine cones, 8 over 13 in pineapples, 21 over 34 in the central florets of the daisy, 21 over 34 in the central florets of the daisy, and 21 over 34, 34 over 55, and 55 over 89 in sunflowers. Evidence of God's flawless creation can be found in all this fine measure and regularity. The flawless creation of plants has been revealed in a verse from the Quran, and we are told that this is also important proof for believers. It is He who sends down water from the sky, from which we bring forth growth of every kind, and from that we bring forth the green shoots, and from them we bring forth close-packed seeds. And from the spathes of the date palm, date clusters hanging down, and gardens of grapes and olives and pomegranates, both similar and dissimilar. Look at their fruits as they bear fruit and ripen. There are signs in that for people who believe. Geometrical shapes are by no means limited to triangles, squares, pentagons, or hexagons. These shapes can also come together in various ways and produce new three-dimensional geometrical ones. The cube and the pyramid are the first examples that can be cited. In addition to these, however, there are also such three-dimensional shapes as the tetrahedron, octahedron, dodecahedron, icosahedron, and hexahedron that we may never encounter in our daily lives and whose names we may never even have heard of. The dodecahedron consists of 12 pentagonal faces and the icosahedron of 20 triangular ones. Scientists have discovered that these shapes can all mathematically turn into one another and that this transformation takes place with ratios linked to the golden ratio. Three-dimensional forms that contain the golden ratio are very widespread in microorganisms. Many viruses have an icosahedron shape. The best known of these is the adenovirus. The protein sheath of the adenovirus consists of 252 protein subunits, all regularly set out, The 12 subunits in the corners of the icosahedron are in the shape of pentagonal prisms. Rod-like structures protrude from these corners. The first people to discover that viruses came in shapes containing the golden ratio were Aaron Klug and Donald Casper from Birkbeck College in London in the 1950s. The first virus they established this in was the polio virus. The Rhino-14 virus has the same shape as the polio virus. Why is it that viruses have shapes based on the golden ratio? Shapes that are hard for us even to visualize. Aaron Klug, who discovered these shapes, explains. My colleague Donald Casper and I showed that the design of these viruses could be explained in terms of a generalization of icosahedral symmetry that allows identical units to be related to each other in a quasi-equivalent way with a small measure of internal flexibility. We enumerated all the possible designs, which have similarities to the geodesic domes designed by the architect R. Buckminster Fuller. However, whereas Fuller's domes have to be assembled following a fairly elaborate code, the design of the virus shell allows it to build itself. Klug's description once again reveals a manifest truth. There is a sensitive planning and a perfect structure, even in viruses, regarded by scientists as one of the simplest and smallest living things. This structure is a great deal more successful than and superior to those of Buckminster Fuller, one of the world's most eminent architects. The dodecahedron and icosahedron also appear in the silica skeletons of radiolarians, single-celled marine organisms. Structures based on these two geometric shapes, like the regular dodecahedron with feet-like structures protruding from each corner, and the various formations on their surfaces, make up the varying beautiful bodies of the radiolarians. The golden ratio also manifests itself in crystal structures. Most of these are in structures too minute to be seen with the naked eye. Yet you can see the golden ratio in snowflakes. The various long and short variations and protrusions that comprise the snowflake all yield the golden ratio. You encounter Fibonacci series and the golden ratio in fields that fall under the sphere of physics. When a light is held over two contiguous layers of glass, one part of that light passes through, one part is absorbed, and the rest is reflected. What happens is a multiple reflection. The number of paths taken by the ray inside the glass, before it emerges again, depends on the number of reflections it is subjected to. In conclusion, when we determine the number of rays that re-emerge, we find that they are compatible with the Fibonacci numbers. The fact that a great many unconnected animate or inanimate structures in nature are shaped according to a specific mathematical formula is one of the clearest proofs that these have been specially created. The golden ratio is an aesthetic rule well known and applied by artists. Works of art based on that ratio represent aesthetic perfection. Plants, galaxies, microorganisms, crystals, and living things created according to this rule, imitated by artists, are all examples of God's superior artistry. God reveals in the Quran that He has created all things with a measure. Some of these verses read, God has appointed a measure for all things. Everything has its measure with Him.